Genesis, going through the story of Jacob. So if you have your Bibles with you or devices, please turn with me to Genesis. We're going to start from Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. So last Sunday, we introduced this family. We have Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. He had great spiritual heritage, right? He knew the Lord. God had appeared to him, just like he had appeared to his father Abraham. Isaac marries Rebekah, and they have twin boys. Esau is the oldest. Jacob is the younger son. They come out of Rebekah's womb, and the younger son is holding the older brother's heel. So older son is named Esau, younger son named Jacob. In midst of Rebekah's pregnancy, God comes and speaks to Rebekah. And he basically says, the older one will serve the younger. And he said, there in your womb, there are two nations that are divided. So that's where chapter 25 left us. Chapter 26, verse 34. So it's a long section, so I'm going to talk about a few things. We'll read some more, talk about them. So chapter 26, verse 34. When Esau, that's the older son, older brother, was 40 years old, so many years have passed, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. They made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." All right, let's pause there. So here is Isaac. He's old. He can't see. His eyes are dim. So and he wants to bless his older son because his older son, Esau, is his favorite son. And so he calls Esau and he says, "Go and hunt game for me. Prepare me a delicious food that I love, and I will bless you." Now, there are several things that are happening here that's not right, right? One, in other places in the Old Testament, when a father would bless his sons, he usually do it in public setting, and he gathers his whole family, especially important male figures in his family. But here, what Isaac does is he does this blessing privately. He only calls his older son, tries to bless him. So something is not right here. And secondly, we read here that Esau, by marrying Hittite women, made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. In other words, he was not living a life that was reflective of God's desire for Abraham and his descendants. So again, there's something off here. And then lastly, and most importantly, last Sunday we talked about this, that God had chosen Jacob to be the one who was going to get blessed. He was going to carry Abraham and Isaac's family line. But here, Isaac ignores God's instructions, right? Isaac says, "I'm going to bless you, Esau." So the question is, why would Isaac do this, knowing that God's will was that he was going to bless Jacob, his younger son? I think we get a hint in verse 4. Verse 4 says, Isaac says to Esau, "Go out and hunt for me and prepare for me delicious food such as I love and bring it to me." The text tells us what Isaac loved. He loved food. He loved food that Esau prepared for him. And here's what we're seeing about Isaac at this old age. One commentator put it this way. He said, Isaac's sensuality became more powerful than his theology. Let me repeat that one more time. Isaac's sensuality became more powerful than his theology. Because Isaac had experienced God, In chapter 26, God appears to Isaac. And he says, basically he repeats his blessing that he gave to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you. I am with you. You're going to be a great nation. And through you, nations will be blessed. I mean, God appears to Isaac, blesses him tremendously. And yet here at his old age, what's happening is Isaac has no vitality towards God. He's sort of lost his faith in some sense. I think this is alarming, right? Because Isaac is someone whom God, like, blessed, God appeared to. And during this time, Isaac is pretty well off. He has servants. So he has pretty blessed life. And yet, here he is, not following God's instructions. He's ignoring God's commands. I used to think when I was younger, I'm still young, but when I was much younger, I used to think that when you, as a Christian, as you got older, you kind of automatically like grew spiritually. But I don't think that's the case. Maybe perhaps because I'm getting older. I think you can do that, but we see so many people who don't finish their spiritual Christian life well. Many people fall away. Richard Bush, who gave us the content for Life on Life that our church leadership is going through, he ministered until he was in his 80s. And I still remember something that he said. He said, you know, as people get older, as Christians get older, sometime in their 40s and 50s, they begin to lose vitality. They begin to recognize that Christian life is, it's hard. They lose the initial desire to follow God. They lose optimism. And basically, they begin to search and look for things that are exciting, things that are that would give them pleasure. And so he calls these people who kind of hit this crossroad and not able to persevere in their pursuit of God, but they kind of fall away. He called them a bitter, old fools. And he says many people end up in that way if you don't really deal with idols in your heart. Because life does get tough. I mean, there are challenges. As we get older, you have bigger challenges. And so life can become difficult, and you actually can become bitter. And so what we see here in Isaac at his old age is not only is he physically losing his sight, but spiritually he's becoming blind. He's losing love for God, love for others. He's losing his faith. That's what's happening to Isaac, I think, here in this passage. So let's move on. Verse 5. Now, Rebekah was listening to Isaac when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, bring them to me. Verse 14, so he went, this is Jacob, he went, took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands, on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. We'll just pause there. So here's Rebekah. She hears what Isaac is trying to do, right? Isaac is trying to bless Esau. And so she hears this, and she comes up with a plan. Now, you know, I was thinking about Rebekah. Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob probably was her life. And she wanted to make sure that Jacob was going to get blessed. And so she thinks, and she goes, and you know, you can kind of imagine what Rebecca is thinking. Wait, God said that he was going to bless Jacob and not Esau, but why isn't Isaac following God's directions? I need to make sure that this happens. And that's probably what Rebecca thought. But here's the problem, right? Does God need any of our help at all? Answer is no. God doesn't need, if God determined that he was going to bless Jacob, he would have blessed Jacob in his time, in his way. He didn't need Rebecca to come up with a scheme to deceive Isaac and make sure that Jacob got blessed. But that's what she does. She takes control of the matter. She comes up with a plan. And so here she is in charge. Verse 18. So this is a little lengthier passage, but I was thinking if we had good actors, you know, maybe they could kind of act the scene out, but I can't think of anyone at our church. So verse 18. Okay, here it is. So he went, so this Jacob went into his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Verse 30, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father, Isaac, said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him, and yes, he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved the blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants. And with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. All right, we'll stop there. What a tragic and sad story. If we had the four characters come up here on the stage, just imagine with me, okay? We bring up Isaac, bring up Rebecca, bring up Esau, and bring up Jacob. If we had like sort of an interview with them, I think these are some of the questions that I would ask. So I would say, Isaac, How can you really, as a father, show that much favoritism to your older son? Look what took place because you did this. And how could you ignore God's prophecy? I mean, God blessed you. God spoke to you through Rebecca. How could you ignore God's word? And then Rebecca will say, like, Rebecca, like, what were you going to do if your plan did not work out? Like, did you have a backup plan? What if Jacob got caught? I mean, Esau, we understand you are upset. I mean, were you upset and angry enough to really murder your brother, Jacob? And then Jacob, weren't you afraid? How did you remain so calm when your father came this close to finding out? How did you do this? How did you pull this off? So many questions. So what are we to take away from this chapter? I want to say three things. One, there are consequences to sin. Let's repeat that. There are consequences to sin. So did Rebecca and Jacob, did they actually succeed in deceiving their father, Isaac? And did they get this blessing? In some sense, yes. And the narrator, the storyteller in the Bible, he doesn't explicitly say something like, now Rebecca did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, or Jacob sinned before God. There's no commentary from him, but he doesn't really need to make any comments, because once you go through the story, you begin to see the consequences of like their actions. So for instance, Jacob does hear this blessing from his father, Isaac. It's a blessing of future significance, prosperity, wealth, and all of these things. But if you read Jacob's story, he doesn't actually experience these things until much, much, much later in his life. Because his brother is so angry at him, he leaves home. He doesn't get any of his father's inheritance. You know, he stole the birthright, and the older son is supposed to get like double the inheritance as other sons. He doesn't get any of that. He leaves home with nothing. We'll talk about that next Sunday. He has nothing. He's so poor when he leaves that he's sleeping and he has to use a rock as a pillow. Like, he has nothing. He leaves home. And then when you read about his life, he painfully gets deceived by his uncle Laban, and he also gets deceived by his own sons. Not just for a day, but he's deceived for years. His life is painful and hard. He says about his own life, in Genesis chapter 47, he says this, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. He goes on to say how Abraham and Isaac, they lived for a long time. He says, I've only lived for 130 years, and my days have been filled with evil, with hardship. His life is hard. He leaves home. That's Jacob. And it's not like, you know, when we think about consequences to sin, it's not like God, sometimes we think God's watching over us and he's saying, aha, I caught you. Now you're going to get it. That's not what we see in Jacob's life. It's just that Jacob chooses to do things that are not right. And it's not that God's punishing him, but the consequences of living a lie or deceiving his father, cheating his brother, I mean, it comes to him, makes his life miserable. Think about Rebecca. Rebecca loved Jacob. If you were to ask, Rebecca, what gives you meaning in life? She probably would have said something like, to see my beloved Jacob prosper, be blessed, right? Rebecca takes matters into her own hands again. She recognizes Esau is after Jacob's life. Esau is just waiting for Isaac to die before he kills him. So Rebecca sees that, hears that. He says, Jacob, your brother is after your life. You need to leave now. go to my brother's house, Laban's house, your uncle's house, and stay there for a while, and I will send a messenger to get you back when once Esau's anger subsides. That word in Hebrew, that word while is yom. Sometimes it's used to translate days or day. And so I think the sense is when Rebecca sends her son Jacob off, I think she's thinking like, okay, Jacob's going to be gone for, I don't know, a few days, maybe for a season. But those of you who know the story, Rebecca never sees her son again. These are her last words. Can you imagine as a mom, as a mother? Like your whole life is around this beloved son. She never sees him. And it's not like now we could text or email. I mean, she doesn't see him at all. She doesn't communicate. These are the last words that he speaks to her or she speaks to him. Her life is, her life falls apart. So did they get what they wanted? Yes. But at the same time, their lives fell apart. Sin, even when we get what we desire, it will always leave us in a worse shape than before. No one truly gets away with sin. Sin damages relationships. It damages our physical health. At times, it ruins our future. And look at these four people. All four of these characters, their lives fell apart. This might be best illustrated, I was trying to think, and I know we have more high school kids, and I don't know if this helps, but Gollum from the character from Lord of the Rings. So, all right. You know, he didn't always look like this, right? And those of you who read the story or watched the movie, you know, he was a hobbit named Smeagol, right? But for 500 years, he lived a certain way. He chased after that ring, right? He lived a certain way. And after 500 years, slowly his body decayed. His mind decayed. His life fell apart. He became a sad, broken down creature. Sin destroys us. Sin damages us. It eats away at our love for God and love for others. We become ultimately less human. So that's point number one. This story just helps us to see, wow, there are consequences to sin. Number two, but God's grace is greater than our sins. It's amazing because God doesn't give up on Isaac, Jacob, Rebecca. I mean, he doesn't give up on this family. He doesn't say, you know what? I promised Abraham that I was going to do this, but I see how you're living, and I'm going to take this back. I'm going to call an audible. I mean, he doesn't do that. He remains faithful. I mean, it's amazing. He works with Jacob and Isaac. I mean, he works with his family. He's steadfast in his promises. God's promise to Abraham and Isaac and then to Jacob still comes true. This family actually becomes a great nation. They actually, through this lineage, Christ is born. Like God's plans, his will, it's not thwarted by people who are broken and people who are sinning. God's faithful. You kind of think about that. God is so faithful and so steadfast. He doesn't give up on them and he doesn't give up on us. When we sin, it hurts us. We become less human, less able to love other people, but God still remains true to his promises. It's amazing. So when God invites us, so when we say, and this is my third point, when we talk about like repentance, it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, God's mad at me and angry at me. I need to kind of grovel back. And no, I think the when I look at Genesis, I think it's more like God has this amazing plan for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promise that God gives to Abraham is amazing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And you will be, your descendants will become a great nation, and through you, I'm going to bless the world. And he says, whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. What? That's an amazing promise from God. And it trickles down to Isaac and Jacob and then their descendants, their sons. God's faithful. And the faithfulness doesn't really depend on us, God's faithfulness. It's just he's true to who he is, his character. He's faithful. I don't know if this helps, but you know, in Genesis chapter 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham. The word covenant in Hebrew means cut. And so God says, Abraham, God blesses Abraham. Abraham says, God, how do I know? How can I know that you're going to keep your promises to me? And God says, Abraham, bring some animals, cut them in half. And then Abraham falls asleep and he sees a vision. And so animals are cut in half and God appears in a fire. And God walks between these cut animals. So in the ancient times, the way that they made a covenant, made a promise, was for them to cut animals in half and the two parties would walk between these cut animals to say, if I break my promise, my covenant, like I will be cut like these animals. Like that's how they made covenants. Well, when that happened, Genesis chapter 15, God walks. God shows up and he walks between these cut animals, but Abraham doesn't. Here's what God's saying. God is saying, I'm going to be responsible for this covenant, this promise. And I know how weak you are, Abraham. So Abraham doesn't walk between these two covenants because Abraham and his descendants will fall many times. So he doesn't walk between these covenants, but God does it by himself. And we know that on the cross, Jesus representing becoming the descendant of Abraham is cut in pieces on the cross to say, in behalf of humanity and Abraham's descendant, I'm cut to pieces because they didn't keep their part of the covenant, and here I am. It's really God making this promise and God keeping it because that's who he is. God is faithful. God's grace is bigger than our sin. Number three, and here's my main point as before we close. Then God, if that's true, then God wants each and every one of us to turn away from our sin and turn to him. In big ways and little ways. That's called what we call repentance, right? Repentance means to turn away. And repentance, Martin Luther, a theologian, he said repentance is I can't remember exactly what he said, but repentance is basically the rhythm of life, Christian life. We're always repenting. We're always saying, we're always turning from idols and things that we desire and turning to God. That's the rhythm of the Christian life, repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. And so this morning, if that's true, point number one, sin causes pain, consequences, but God's grace is there. God's grace is true. God's grace is greater than our sin. Then how should we respond? We should turn away from our sin and turn to God to receive healing and forgiveness. Let me just give some examples of this. Number one, anyone identify with Isaac? Some of us who are maybe getting older, maybe or maybe not, but your sensuality, your desire for pleasure, your desire for physical things has become more powerful than your theology or knowledge of God. I think that could be many of us living in this culture, right? We crave things that are not of God. If that's you, this morning, we can turn away from that and we can say, God, you are good. You invite us to taste how good you are. Remind me once again how much you love me. Help me to turn away from the pleasures of this world and turn to you. So that's number one. Many years ago, I remember talking to this lady at our church, and she moved away many years ago, and she came up to me, and she said, you know, and she was like struggling and just going through a lot of challenges. And she said, you know, about a year ago, I came to church and sat here, and I remember you spoke on this passage, that passage about Lot, Abraham and Lot. And she said, I remember when I was at the service, I knew that God was like encouraging me to turn away from just my life and what I was pursuing and turn to Him. And she said, I wish I would have done that. Yeah, you know, and so if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to, and it doesn't have to be big things, right? Small things. Let that go and turn to God. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And, you know, some of you might be thinking, I'm so, like, in so deep here. I don't know how to do that. You know, Isaac, actually, at the very end, he does turn and change and repent because after this section, he actually blesses Jacob officially. And the New Testament book of Hebrews says that in faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So never too late. We could always turn to God. Number two, anyone identify with Rebecca? We want to have control over our life. And it's awfully hard to let things go and trust in God. What would have happened if Rebecca heard what Isaac was going to do and she said, oh man, I want to take control of the situation. I want to get Jacob the blessing. But what if she said, you know, God, you're going to bless Jacob. I'm going to trust in you. I don't know. Like the story would have been different. I think because Rebecca took charge of this situation, she missed out on what God was going to do, I think. She missed out on God's like intervention, God's provision. God could have done it. God would have done it because that's what He promised. But Rebecca missed out on that. For some of us, maybe we are trying to control our situation, circumstances, and make sure that it fits like this. Maybe God is saying to you today, just let it go. Trust me. Wait for my timing. Wait for my ways. If God is going to do it, He's going to do that. Number three, anyone identify with Jacob? Jacob, I think it's, his name is Deceiver, but he's also a sad character, I think, because here's Jacob going to his father Isaac. He wants to hear from his father like the blessing words. But only way that he's going to hear from his father, I love you, come near me, kiss me, I'm going to bless you. These words of affirmation and significance and future is to pretend that he's really Esau. Can you imagine in his soul, like what he must have felt? Like even though Jacob, Isaac is blessing him, I don't know if he really hit him because he knows deep inside my father's only blessing me because he thinks that I'm Esau. I mean, that's painful. That's sad. That's what Jacob does here. I think for some of us, that's how we live. We think that the only way we will be blessed is if we pretend to be someone else, or we try hard to make ourselves presentable. That's how we live. We try to be someone else so that we will be blessed by the world or people around you, so that you'll be noticed, or you'll feel significant, or people will respect you. You put on clothes, you put on things so that you can present yourself to be someone that you're not. But you know what's amazing about this passage is when Isaac blesses Jacob, and then he realizes he made a mistake. Notice he doesn't say, oh my goodness, Jacob, you fooled me, right? You rascal, you cheated your brother. I'm going to unbless you. You need to go to your room. I don't know. You know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'm going to unbless you. Esau, come here. He doesn't do that. Why doesn't he do that? Because along the way, it says he shook violently. Along the way, I think what he realized was that this was the will of God. God had determined to bless Jacob. And I think during this process, he recognized it, or he finally admitted it, or acknowledged it. No matter what he tried to do, God was going to bless Jacob. It's Jacob who is blessed. In the same way, friends, you, if you are in Christ, you are already blessed. You don't have to try to be someone else to receive the blessing from God. No, the New Testament says over and over again, in Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Our 2 Corinthians says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for you. He's talking about you, church. Why do we then try to cover up ourselves or try to pretend that we're someone else to receive blessing, but blessing from God or blessing from other people? The gospel says, no, you're already blessed. Nothing can change that. You're blessed right now, today. You don't have to put on someone else's clothes. You don't have to try to work harder, try to make it happen on your own. No, you are blessed. And it's out of that we go and bless others. So friends, today, know that you are eternally blessed. You're loved beyond what you can imagine. Yeah, and then, you know, we, the church, go and out of that we bless others. All right, I think I'm done here, so let's pray briefly, and then we'll invite the worship team up, and we'll respond in prayer and communion and some songs. Let's do that together.